From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
This is the Legislative Gazette. I'm Jessica Blaustein Marshall, in for David Gastina. Coming up this week, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump cancels a planned appearance in Plattsburgh. Our political observer Alan Shartok weighs in on the possibility of legislative pay raises, and we'll have a look at the progress of some of the state's economic development programs. Those stories and more coming up on the Legislative Gazette. Last weekend, the Trump presidential campaign tentatively scheduled a return visit to Plattsburgh. But as the Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley reports, shortly after contracts were finalized, the event was postponed.
On Saturday, Republican Donald Trump's preliminary schedule showed a stop in Portland, Maine on Thursday, followed by a stop at 2 o'clock in Plattsburgh, New York. Details at the time were pending, including the venue. Mayor James Calnon spent the weekend and Monday hashing out a contract for use of the city-owned Crate Civic Center, adjacent to the city beach. At 6:17 Monday evening, the mayor sent an email stating, quote, "The city of Plattsburgh has executed a contract with the Trump campaign for an event on Thursday at the Crate Civic Center," unquote. But 2 hours later, he sent a new email. Quote, "I just heard from the Trump campaign that a scheduling conflict has arisen, and they are going to have to postpone their Plattsburgh visit. No future date has been scheduled," unquote. Calnon is disappointed after getting the city geared up for the event.
It's a kind of a fevered pitch, and then all of a sudden, I guess we don't have to do that. So it's a bit of a letdown.
Calnon does not think the postponement has anything to do with the final contract. When Trump appeared in April, the city charged $4,500 for use of the Crate Center. But in the current contract, the fee is $7,500.
We were asking for more money than we had last time. Really, it came down to the logistics of what was going on. While we didn't have any activities planned between now and Thursday, we do have Brewfest on the weekend, and Thursday was supposed to be their setup day, which means that what would have happened over 2 days, if Trump had come, would have had to happen in 1 day, which really raises the cost for us considerably. And the fact that he's now a party nominee means he would have really made it a more complex operation for us. And when he came in April, our city beach wasn't open, and that would complicate things as we look at how we keep the beach traffic and the Crate traffic separate. So all those things got factored in.
On Monday, Clinton County Republican Committee Chair Donald McBrayer was excited that Trump was considering a stop in Plattsburgh.
We were really looking forward to seeing our presidential candidate. But we understand his schedule is very busy and not absolutely shocked, but I am a little disappointed.
McBrayer thought a second visit by Trump would have generated a much larger crowd than his April rally. He spoke with campaign representatives shortly after the postponement was announced.
And I did inquire about rescheduling. They didn't indicate one way or the other, but with the man's schedule, it's, he would have to be in this part of the country, and then they would have to reschedule this venue. So if I had to wager a bet, I would say we probably missed our opportunity to see Mr. Trump for a second time.
A downtown rally in opposition to the Trump visit was in the works. Co-organizer Patty Bentley is not surprised that Trump has canceled his appearance.
My immediate reaction was that I was surprised. Then my next reaction was that I wasn't surprised, because I have found this candidate to be so erratic that it didn't seem out of the ordinary. And I understand there may be legitimate reasons for him changing it, but frankly, I was a little relieved that we didn't have the circus coming to town.
Bentley says the planned Rally for No Hate in the North Country, which would have been concurrent with the Trump event, will be held at a later date.
You know, the energy that was created over this won't diminish drastically because Donald Trump isn't coming to town. So we plan to have this. We've postponed the rally and hope to have it within the next 3 weeks on a weekend when more people can come.
Trump made a campaign stop in Plattsburgh on April 15th, ahead of the New York primary, and also rallied in Burlington and Albany this year.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
We're now joined by our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, Donald Trump was supposed to hold an event in Plattsburgh this week, but he canceled the appearance. What do you make of this, and why Plattsburgh?
Well, there's a big debate about this. In other words, New York is a state that Donald Trump will not win. But he's a New Yorker, and he thinks that I can't ignore New York, and I think I can do well. One of the reasons that Trump has done so well in this election is he defies the odds, and he, you know, acts out the way that he does. And I know that the newspapers have reported that there was a significant internal discussion. Look, we do know how he has to win this race if he is going to win. And by the way, he could win. And some of the polls show him 3 points behind. Some show, like the NBC poll, as the last time I looked, was about Hillary was up about 8 points. But in any case, it's going to be a close election, and we really don't know if the pollsters will get it right and if they're talking to the right people. But if you're going to win, you have to take Virginia, Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio. And then the question is, what are you doing in upstate New York? The answer is, I want to go there because it's my state. Well, I think I can do it. Well, the internal people are saying, no, don't waste your time there. Go to places like Ohio, which really will make a difference. And so Trump schedules something for Plattsburgh, but then doesn't come. And, you know, that doesn't help either, because then those people in Plattsburgh are going to say, oh, boy, he doesn't think much of us.
Now, Representative Richard Hanna of New York has become the first Republican this week to endorse Hillary Clinton. How does that factor into things?
Well, this is a retiring congressman. Well, I think to some degree it could be important because it was reported not only nationally, but I heard it reported internationally, I believe on the BBC. Nevertheless, let's remember he's a retiring congressman. So you don't have to actually have a lot of courage. He's gone. That's it. The end of him. There are a lot of Republicans who'd like to do that. But their problem is that if they say, I'm not going to vote for Trump because I can't stand the guy, there will be a number of people who voted for Trump in the primary process who will say, good, you don't like him, we don't like you. It's not everybody, but it'll be enough so that they court defeat. So it is not surprising to see a retiring congressman make this kind of a declaration. But it would be more surprising if you see people who are in tough primaries. For example, John McCain. Believe it or not, he's in a tough primary in Arizona. We have Trump coming out and saying, well, you know, I'm not going to endorse him because he's been mean to me or whatever he says. And of course, Trump started it by saying that he didn't admire McCain because he had been a prisoner. Can you imagine? I mean, that is really off the wall. Here he was kept in this Vietnamese prison all this time, refuses to go until his colleagues go also, tortured and everything else. And Trump goes ahead and gives him a hard time. So all I'm saying is these people could really get hurt in primaries, and they all know it. Mr. Ryan, who is the speaker, has a similar problem with him. He's in a primary also, and Trump says, well, I don't like what he's been saying about me, so I'm not going to support him either. That's why they don't come out and say, I'm voting for the other guy, even though a lot of people know that they will be.
Now, switching to state politics here, the Commission on Legislative, Judicial, and Executive Compensation is considering raising state lawmakers' base pay 48%. Can you contextualize this for us?
Well, Jessica, here's the thing. This is a rigged commission. It was a commission that was appointed because they don't want to take the responsibility of raising their own pay. People don't know a thing about the legislature, but they know when they raise their own pay. They don't like that. So they appoint the commission, and everybody knows it's a wink, wink, nod, nod situation. So now the commission is playing around this idea that they should pay them for all the pay raises they didn't get over the years. That's incredible. Imagine if you're working in upstate New York and you haven't had a pay raise for 3 years, and you read in the paper that the theory is that we're going to give the legislators pay raises that they haven't gotten, then what about all the other people? Well, they say, well, we're going to give it them the same thing that the civil service got. Rigged is rigged is rigged is rigged, and we know it.
All right, one more question. So state lawmakers are taking a look at Cuomo's Startup New York program and some other economic development programs this week. With the ongoing investigation into the Buffalo Billion, how's that going to play out?
This comes directly to Andrew Cuomo. Many of the people around Cuomo are now under investigation. In fact, if you imagine Andrew sitting in the middle of a circle, and surrounding him are some of the people that he's put in place on programs like the Buffalo Billions and others, there does seem to be a theory that some of this may have been pay to play. In other words, you get a contract if you make a campaign contribution. And now the investigators are going to go and ask everybody who was on the line, did you ask for a campaign contribution? And if you did they give it? And if they gave it, was there a quid pro quo, which is what the Supreme Court says there has to be to get a conviction for theft of honest services. So if you go to somebody and say to them, welcome, and they say, okay, good, and then they give you the money, that's that quid pro quo. But if somebody said on a telephone, in a wire, in another place, if you give this money, you'll get the contract, that would be really bad, and somebody might well end up going to jail. That's how they got Shelley Silver, at least so far.
Well, no matter what, it's going to be an interesting fall coming up. Alan, our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thank you so much, Alan.
Thanks, Jess.
You're listening to The Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm Jessica Blaustein Marshall. A routine oversight hearing by the state assembly turned testy when Governor Andrew Cuomo's economic development czar, Howard Zemsky, endured over 2 hours of questions about Cuomo's economic development programs, which are currently under federal investigation. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
And I welcome the chance to discuss the overall impact of the New York State budget on the state's economic development efforts.
Zemsky answered questions for over 2 hours from Democratic and Republican assembly members. They wanted to know why the economic development program known as Startup, which offers a 10-year tax break for new high-tech businesses who locate on college campuses, is seeming to take so long to begin. A report issued at the start of the July 4th weekend found that just 408 jobs have been created so far, though state officials predict thousands more new positions will eventually come. Assemblywoman Addie Russell, a Democrat from Watertown, called the results paltry, and she says it comes as the state university system has been severely underfunded.
I'm not sure if we should be doing a complete rethink of where this program is housed and how it is operated, because, you know, frankly, if you continue to starve SUNY, I don't know how you expect them to be able to be a full and robust partner in leveraging what's going on their campuses.
Zemsky told the assembly members that it's too early to judge Startup, and he continued that argument outside the hearing, speaking with reporters, saying, take a deep breath and give the program some time.
How do you realistically oppose the combination of industry and academia in the state of New York? I think ultimately we just give it some more time. We've put the framework in place to succeed, and I think we'll change those perceptions when we just continue to show steady progress in job creation.
The state controller has also issued several audits that are critical of the Cuomo administration's economic development programs. Controller Tom DiNapoli, who, like Cuomo, is also a Democrat, has not always had a good relationship with the governor. DiNapoli has questioned the value of a $50 million advertising campaign promoting Startup. The controller also found a lack of oversight of the Excelsior Jobs program, saying economic development government officials could not verify whether companies actually create the number of jobs they promised, and in some cases could not even justify why the businesses were granted the tax breaks in the first place. Zemsky says the negative audits are misleading and unfair.
The audit that I'm familiar with, I think, did not really paint a proper picture of the Excelsior tax credit program. And I think that was unfortunate.
Controller DiNapoli, speaking in July when the audit was released, questioned the larger concept of the overall worth of the economic development programs.
At the end of the day, many of these programs do cost a lot of money. And might that those monies be better spent on, rather than, you know, targeting certain businesses? You know, one of the things we hear from the business community is the cost of doing business overall is very high in New York. Could some of these programs be, instead of targeting specific businesses, be done in a way that would benefit all businesses in terms of relieving some costs, perhaps relieving some regulations?
Looming over everything is the ongoing federal corruption probe by U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara. Zemsky admitted, under questioning from assembly members, that some recent payments to key economic development programs, including the giant solar city plant in Buffalo, have been delayed due to increased scrutiny over contracts now that the feds are investigating. Governor Cuomo has also hired his own private investigator to review all of the contracts.
We have extra process. So, you know, we clearly have more scrutiny, further layers of protection and review, so that's going to take some getting used to.
But Zemsky says he hopes the probe by the U.S. attorney is now coming to a close and his agency can move on from that. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
New Yorkers may see broadband service expanded statewide within the next 2 years. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas has more.
Internet connectivity is no longer a luxury. It is a necessity. The Cuomo administration sees broadband service as vital a resource as running water and electricity to New York's communities and is absolutely critical to the future of the state's economy, education, and safety. During a series of upstate appearances Wednesday, including a stop in Hudson, Governor Andrew Cuomo declared that quality, fast internet access is vital to ensuring New York remains economically competitive. Cuomo has vowed that by 2018, every New Yorker will have access to high-speed internet, making broadband for all a reality. Some 2 million businesses and homes do not have high-speed service. State Public Service Commission Chair Audrey Zibelman.
For the first time, all of the state is going to have access to a program for low-income access to internet. The digital divide is a big issue. If you look across our demographics, people who are at the lowest income levels usually have access to internet at just about a quarter of what the rest of the rest of us have. And so one of the things that we'll have is that everybody will have access to $14.99 prices for internet at high speeds, and that we'll also not have credit checks for people who are eligible.
Announcements included the awarding of state grants that will support 18,000 miles of broadband infrastructure, serving 18 upstate libraries and 96 government buildings, healthcare facilities, colleges, and public schools. Cuomo announced the awards of the first round of the new New York broadband program. The Capital Region is receiving $6.2 million to assist in providing expanded high-speed internet to 338,613 homes.
You cannot be competitive without access to broadband. It is Eisenhower's highway road system of the 50s. It's what Governor Smith did, DeWitt Clinton did with the Erie Canal. It's what we did with the New York State Thruway system. You have to be able to get there. Broadband is that basic a requirement.
The state has already identified 2 million upstate homes and businesses that will, by early next year, be able to purchase 100 megabits per second service. Cuomo added that New York is spending $500 million to subsidize the coverage. Additionally, as terms of its merger deal reached with the Public Service Commission, Charter Communications has agreed to add 145,000 homes in New York State to its network that are not currently serviced by Time Warner at no charge. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Labor and business leaders in central New York are celebrating a decision this week by the state to officially include nuclear power in its clean energy plan. As the Innovation Trail's Payne Horning reports, many believe that the subsidies the plan includes will save upstate's three nuclear power plants, which are struggling to survive on their own.
The 12-year plan, which was unanimously approved, will support New York's financially impaired nuclear power plants because they currently produce a third of New York's carbon dioxide-free energy. Public Service Commission, or PSC member, Greg Sayre says the loss of those plants would set the state back on its clean energy initiative.
I do not see any way that we could quickly replace the output of the upstate nuclear plants with renewable energy. Realistically, we would need to produce more natural gas and probably build more natural gas generating stations than we otherwise would need if the nuclear plant shut down in the near future. And I don't think that's the result we want.
Leaders in Oswego County were jubilant over the news. The county is home to two nuclear power plants, Fitzpatrick and Nine Mile Point, both of which are at risk of closing. Ted Scripon represents employees from the two plants.
It's a relief for them, as they know, though, there's still a lot of work to do. It's not a done deal, and we need to make sure that we, you know, continue to knock on doors and educate. But they were a little relieved that now here's something in the toolkit that can be used to help us secure our jobs in our future.
The work left to do, though, is mainly in the hands of two private companies. Entergy is in negotiations to sell Fitzpatrick, which it had wanted to close, to Exelon. That could save the 615 jobs at the plant. But Tim Judson, with the Nuclear Information and Resource Center, says New York actually hasn't saved any jobs.
All the state is doing is kicking the can down the road. These nuclear power plants are going to close down. They're going to close down sooner or later. And the state has done nothing in passing these subsidies to actually deal with the long-term economic fortunes of Oswego and Wayne counties.
Wayne County is home to the Ginna nuclear power plant, which has also struggled financially. Judson's group and other environmentalists criticize the PSC's decision because they say it takes money away from New York's goal of doubling its renewable energy providers. I'm Payne Horning.
And that does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies are available by calling 1-800-323-9262. Again, that number is 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1632. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Jessica Blaustein Marshall.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.